settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Hello and welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical and spiritual show designed to open your eyes to the greater possibilities of life. Thanks for joining us. For those with us for the first time, what makes this show so unique is that every week my husband Mick demonstrates his exceptional gift of deep trance channeling live on air. He channels an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. They're an educational group, and they are here to give us knowledge and information we'd never have access to in any other way. And this week's show is another chance for you to send in your questions, or rather, phone in your questions. And if you'd like to participate with us, you call us. It's not a readings-style situation, but it's basically your chance to speak to a spirit guide about things, anything metaphysical or of a spiritual nature, or just anything that you would like a spirit guide's point of view with things that are on your mind to do with this world and any other world, basically. So do call us with a question or comment. It's toll-free in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call. And that's 001-530-876-3222.
Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery. And as well as Spirit's Work on the wonderful and ever-present bbsradio.com, every Sunday at 10 a.m. PST, that's 6 p.m. GMT, we have another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching. And you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 4 p.m. PST, which is midnight GMT. Now, if you'd like to know more about us, our book CDs, maybe book yourself an Akashic reading, we suggest you go to visit our websites, which are at www.spirit-teaching.com, also at www.spiritsworkradio.com, and now at www.mickavery.com. The mickavery.com, by the way, is purely for English and European listeners and people that, you know, want to connect with us in that way. Anyway, as Sylvie said, I'm a deep trance medium, which means I'm a pure channel for the spirit world, enabling clear, concise communication from those who continue to walk with us and who try to look after us. Now, in this way, each week on our show, Sylvie has a conversation with our spirit friends so they can give us the benefit of their wisdom, and as a result, we can get a different perspective on life, which means having choices and options we may never have realized were available to us. When I go into the trance state, I will not know of anything that happens until they bring me back. And that's how it should be within this kind of communication, because we wouldn't want thoughts and feelings from my own mind getting in the way of the spirit contact. And in that way, you know it's a pure form of communication. Okay, so I'm going to take the glasses off. Now they are off, and I'm going to say goodbye for now.
Yes, Gregory was asked before his physical life in the early 1700s if he would like to train to be the representative of this educational group who were going to be helping the people of the earth discover a more harmonious way of life. The group wants us to understand the implications of what we are doing to our planet to aid us onto a road of recovery and consequently raise the vibration of the planet. They consist of eminent scientists, physicists and scholars, as well as ordinary people. And between them, they have vast knowledge and insight. They try to help us to look at the bigger picture of life, to think outside of the box, and explain situations that affect us and our future and the future of the planet. And of course, this means those who wish to come after us, who haven't had a physical life yet, who are still in the spirit world. So the other thing I would just like to say is, before we go on to Gregory, is that we do Akashic readings. If you would like a one-to-one Akashic reading on the telephone with Gregory, because we are in the UK at the moment, that's basically a soul reading, anything to do with your spiritual development, your gifts of spirit, your guides. You find out what soul group you're from and all sorts of wonderful things that you probably wouldn't find out in any other way, style reading. It's really quite unique and very insightful, very helpful to marry your spiritual pathway with your physical life pathway. So, because, you know, it's very difficult, isn't it, to know what way we're supposed to be going. Am I on the right path, etc.? It's very difficult. And who better to ask than the spirit guide who has your Akashic book in front of him. So if you'd like to find out more about that, then do visit us at spirit-teaching.com and go to the Akashic reading page, and you'll find out more about it on there. And if you want to get in touch with me, I will help you with any information or questions that you may have. Okay. Gregory, hello.
Hello, my dear friend. Hello, little bird.
Hello.
Greetings with love and light. Blessings as always upon your pathway, dear friend. Hello, everyone.
Okay, well, I do have some questions, and I did forget to say to everybody, actually, if you would like to send in any questions prior to the program, just in case you might not like speaking on the telephone, or you just might not be able to listen live, whatever reason you have, if you want to send me your questions, I will put them to Gregory. And if you have a show suggestion, I will organise a show as well. And questions with that are gratefully received too, so that we ask exactly what you want to know. Okay. So, well, I do have some questions here from Paul. And
yes.
He's in the UK, I do believe.
Yes, yes.
Right. He says, how do spirits in spheres interact with higher spheres?
In spheres, Ben?
Well, I'm not sure what he meant. Hang on a second. I guess in the spirit world, in spheres of the spirit world, I guess.
Yes.
He means how do spirits interact with higher spheres, with spirits in higher spheres, I guess.
Well, my dear friend, in point of fact, you have to look at it this way, that it's not one place and then another place. It's a graduation. So, if you were a being who, shall we say, that you led a blameless physical life, and that you came to our side of life with a fairly purified sensitivity of both your morality code and also to do with how, in fact, you managed to create your pathway in the spirit world after your physical life, it would be that your spirit vibration index would be at a certain vantage point, a certain oscillation. As you gradually move forward in your life, perhaps it is that the physical side of life has been absolutely perfect for you, and that you have managed to create an absolutely abundant pathway. Then, of course, your vibration index will be that much quicker still. This means to say, then, that you already will have access to different realms of distinction, different realms other than if you had had a blameful life, one of great negativity, which then bars your way simply by the vibration at which you sit at present. That was caused by the negative interactions that you made within your journey. So that means to say, then, that if you took the latter course, it would be that you would simply not be aware that these higher vibrational levels were there or even possible. This doesn't mean to say, then, that it means that all pathways are barred to those beings who were in some way negative within their physical life. But what it actually means is that as illumination dawns upon the consciousness of the being who has had a physical life, then as that dawning is created, so too the vibration becomes raised. As the vibration becomes raised, then realization sets in to the conscious state of the illuminated journey. What happens then is the conscious state, which is encrusted around the spirit, your beautiful spirit who has always existed, what happens is there's a translucency which happens coming from your beautiful pure spirit, which then continues to vibrate against your consciousness. And simply what happens then, you create what is called an inner knowing or quickening. By this process of inner knowing or quickening, which can happen to you in the physical side of life, coming from your beautiful pure spirit simply means that it's a dawning of realization. That's actually really what it means. And when you have this dawning of realization, you become realigned to a different vibration. And the further that you move along this pathway of realization, awareness of your consciousness, of the love that is available within you, coming from your beautiful pure spirit, simply means that further realization dawns. A big grin across the face is not the only telltale sign. And as I say, this isn't something that's just apt to the spirit world. It's a notion that people, beings in physical life, when they're having a physical journey, can also take upon themselves. So this means to say, friend, that even when in your physical life, you can become empowered, of course, yes. Become aware, yes. Become enlightened, absolutely, yes. And all that this means, I'm not diminishing it in any way, but what it actually means is that you becoming enlightened means you are becoming aware of something you are not previously understanding. Raising your vibration, allowing your beautiful pure spirit to illuminate through your skin, through your pores, through your physical being into the outside world in which you live. The same realization then comes about simply that you become more and more illuminated about your journey. So the further illuminated you become, unfortunately, what tends to happen is that human beings then call this a form of ascension. The ascension of man. In actual fact, the ascension of man is really to do with a play upon words of how it was ascribed that human beings struggled through the evolutionary time field of their inhabitants upon the physical world of perhaps 5.3 million years to the present day. So it's in a sense a situation taken out of context of what truly is a form of enlightenment, if you like. It is when you understand your spirit, the duality of purpose you have of both having a physical life but also overcoming obstacles and through service gaining awareness of your own beautiful spirit, therefore truly understanding the basic fact that you are part of God.
Okay, so would one still have to meditate in order to raise their vibration in the spirit world like we do here?
Yes, absolutely so.
Would you do that if you wanted to accelerate your vibration?
Yes, well, particularly I have to say if there are energies at work whereby you need to gain much further understanding about other beings. It's actually one thing to say, oh yes, I have great love for every being, but actually some people will say that and yet they'll still shriek when they handle a worm or something like that, or even a snake or some other beastie living upon your side of life.
Well, you can love it but still be frightened of it, can't you?
Yes, of course. Absolutely. Yes. Being frightened is one thing. That's a oftentimes an anatomical or behavioral difficulty that you have. Psychological advancement will have to be entailed within you so that you can overcome that obstacle. It's not the being's fault that you had that situation brought to you.
Mm. So basically, you can still meditate in spirit world,
yes,
in order to, like I say, accelerate your vibration.
Yes, absolutely so. And the meditation that we do in the spirit world is called Sesi. That is spelled S-A-I-S-A-E. And the A and the E are locked together.
Mm.
Sesi in itself is the simplest form of meditative state. So that you can express within all realities the same condition.
Mm.
That is one of purity and love and being in utmost control of all of those situations.
Mm. At some point or other, we will put that on the website for people to download.
Yes.
But, okay, fine. So, but if love, if the feeling of love, spurs somebody on to want to become even more, shall we say, what word shall we say, not pure, not evolved. I'm trying to find a word that's,
becoming more embracing.
Becoming more embracing. Yes, of their destiny, of their future.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
If that's the feeling that they get, you know, the feeling of your beautiful spirit, etc.,
yes,
actually coming through to you, what does the negative spirit feel like? I don't know, this is, you know, $60 million question, really. But what does a negative spirit feel that fuels them on to be like they are?
Negative.
Yes. Yes, but they have to have some sort of feeling. What do
That's
they feel?
Very true, yes. And that actually comes through from the emotional field journey.
Right. Okay. So what does that mean, though? Because if we feel love, they feel what?
And that's an emotional field journey, too.
Yes.
So if you feel love and they feel negativity,
mm-hmm,
they then feel perhaps that they have been marginalized. Perhaps it is that they actually don't have a notion of it one way or the other. Maybe their whole connotation of this and the reason why they have suffered from this sickness of negativity could be simply because they don't know any different.
Hmm.
It may be that they're not actually responding to it emotionally, that they don't have an emotional field attached to negativity. It may be that it's purely and simply a chemical, biological reaction happening within their physical body.
Okay. If they're a spirit, though, if they are a deceased being, if they are a spirit,
yes,
who is still doing this,
yes,
do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
Because
so
if it's a physiological thing, a biological thing,
yes,
I can understand them being totally hooked on the feeling of being negative. I can,
yes,
understand that. But if they haven't got a body, what is fueling them on?
Their consciousness. Still from the physical life. So, for example, then, friend, you won't have a negative spirit ever, ever, ever.
No, okay, yeah.
You will only ever have a negative consciousness reacting upon a beautiful, pure spirit.
Okay, so yes, everybody's a pure spirit, they have a
Everyone.
Physical life.
Yes.
And that can go one way or the other.
That's
okay,
right.
Okay, yes. So that the more negative they are, the less interaction and gradually no interaction with their spirit is
that's
able
right.
to be made.
Yes, that's right.
No contact.
Yes.
So, okay, it's buried underneath this heavy negative consciousness.
Yes, which is acting like a coat, like another skin.
Mm.
So there's your beautiful, pure spirit wearing this intensive negativity. I understand that many people from your side of life will actually say, well, that's rubbish because your spirit will just shrug it off. Well, I have news for you.
Mm.
It simply doesn't work like that. And even though your beautiful spirit is still pure and beautiful, your consciousness actually coming from your physical life takes precedence, as it does in the conscious physical life, in exactly the same way. It's a residual energy from that reality.
So
until it becomes that your consciousness and the being that you were in physical life, now transposed to outside of life, realizes it's what it can begat instead of negativity, that registry of identity will remain until they choose to do something different.
Okay. So it's the thoughts...
are living things.
Yes, yes. And it's the thoughts of what the feelings they used to get when they were in the physical life.
Yes.
That is the thing that's fueling them on. Then.
Yes, that but same chemical registry.
Okay, so the same chemical registry, but they haven't got a brain.
No.
And they haven't got a body.
No, but they've got conscious thought. Cell memory. Cell memory is what drives individuals on our side of life after they've had physical life into doing things. So, for example, dear friend, your mother.
Mm-hmm.
Bless her cotton socks.
Mm. She passed in August.
And her knitted scarves and hats. That it will be that your mother's energy and her consciousness continues to illuminate because she understands and understood from her physical life that there were certain pathways within her consciousness, which actually, because underneath it all, she was actually very much more aware of the conditions of love and sensitivity than perhaps she actually let on.
Mm-hmm.
So even though at times in her physical life, she actually was quite, shall I say, not negative, but she had certain situations
fearful.
Where she was quite fearful. Yes, quite so, which obviously can happen to many people in the physical side of life, that actually she managed to overcome that upon her passing and simply moved beyond it.
Mm.
And she did such a miraculous job of it. She didn't make a pig's ear out of anything. She actually just simply moved beyond it. Of course, she was helped because Freddie, her husband, previously passed, was there to meet with her and to help her upon that journey of realization, help her to understand how to utilize her conscious thought and all of those settings, in a sense, that she had gained in her physical life and part of the knowledge as well, I have to say, which would, of course, helped her immensely because I met with her on a good few occasions. And so,
in when she was here, you mean?
Yes,
at sessions. Yeah, yeah. You spoke to her here.
Yes, and so the situation has become that she is very illuminated on her journey.
Mm.
Her beautiful spirit shining through the beautiful being that she actually is. She was a beautiful being in her physical life as well, except of course that a lot of people didn't really see it that well. Because she was quite a private person.
Hmm. Yes. Okay. So, okay, go back to this negative spirit.
Yes, yes.
So, what, if they are constantly being driven by negative thoughts.
Yes.
What would make them decide to change if their beautiful spirit can't shine through to them? What is likely to do that?
Well, my dear friend, sometimes it will be, they will be introduced to someone else who went through a similar pattern of life.
Mm.
So someone who attracted the same kind of energies to their life, perhaps took other life, maybe not anything so quite dramatic as that, perhaps some other situation.
Well, let's stick with that one. Let's stick with
that.
Oh, very
well, yes. So they took someone else's life and that they would then be mentored by someone else who also did the same thing and made great reparations because they were also helped by others in the spirit world who had also done the same thing. It's in a sense the way that the empathy works. The situation then will be that the mentor will generally appeal to that energy's actual nature of how they can then overcome the attachment that they have to this very intensive negative trait.
Because they understand them, because they've been there, they've done
yes.
it, they know exactly.
Absolutely, in exactly the same way, dear friend, that you should have mentors on your side of life for all kinds of things, all sorts of different situations where children and young adults run into trouble with authorities or become criminalized in some way. They should actually have mentoring situations with others who have been through that, perhaps that would be actually part of the process that others who have been imprisoned for their wrongdoing actually come out and have to maybe, perhaps, they have to spend some years bringing for their atonement of their deeds, that they actually have to mentor others who are also falling off the rails, as it were.
Mm. Yes, I mean, what better person, really, to be, well, not a probation officer, but somebody to actually go to lecture and teach and that sort of thing.
Yes, a probationary service situation is absolutely untenable. It simply doesn't work. No. Why not? Because they don't realise exactly what's going on.
No.
They don't really know. Because they haven't actually been through it themselves.
But if it was an ex-con, somebody who's been through and come out the other side and wants to make amends, then that would be perfect, wouldn't it?
Absolutely so.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's good. Okay, let's go on to another question from Paul.
Yes.
How can people remember where they go when they are asleep?
An interesting point that you make, Paul. In a sense, I say interesting particularly because oftentimes what happens when people go into sleep state and they have memory, but it's only shaded or it's only partial memory. And sometimes what can happen is that partial memory is indicative of maybe the times and moments when your consciousness simply was not connected whatsoever, in any way whatsoever. Maybe that the consciousness actually became illuminated within the journey or actually disassociated with the journey itself. So meaning that, for example, if you were asleep and you were about to have an out-of-body experience, we'll just say for the moment, that what happens is then your consciousness journeys with your spirit along with your doorkeeper. Your consciousness and your spirit are tied to the physical body by your etheric bead. Your consciousness is that you have an understanding as you are going through the process, through the experience, that you're holding the hand of someone else. Maybe you're flying or something like that, and that's the actual experience that you have of movement, and yet it appears to be movement which transcends you through time as well as space. So it's like you find yourself moving, and then there are, in a sense, like your journey suddenly picks up a pace, and it becomes much faster, and then it slows down, and then it becomes much faster, sort of jerks from one situation to another. Actually, what's happening there is that you are going through different time fields and different sequences of time, which actually helps you to move from your present physical dimension into the spirit world. And so part of the reason that you have of actually why you experience the journey that you do of these lapses in time memory are actually simply because you're moving into a different dimension, and that's why you have no memory of it, because the sequence of it, in a sense, wipes it clean. Now, that may well not be the case for the entire journey, of course, because your memory picks up again. Your consciousness becomes in resonance with it because it catches up. And catches up with the frequency of where your spirit is. So therefore, your consciousness actually illuminates that part of the journey. At other times, it will disassociate from it. For example, in the coming back, some people actually jerk back into their physical body. Maybe even with a bang or a bump. And that it then becomes something that it's like they suddenly wake up in a great sweat and have to drink some water and that kind of thing. And it's quite a shocking experience, or at least it can be. Oftentimes from those kinds of sequences, the consciousness memory of the journey will only be partial. It may even be erased altogether, purely and simply because the speed at which you will return back to the physical life and in that respect through the interdimensional portway that enabled you to leave it, that in a sense you're suffering from the recoil of your etheric bead as it hits your solar plexus, because that, of course, is where it's tied to. That's the little dent just below the breastbone, where the breastbone finishes.
Hmm.
The little dent in your stomach, at the top of your stomach, at the top of your diaphragm.
Hmm.
Yes.
So Paul says, are we able to move back? No, hang on, sorry. Are we able to go to the spirit world and gain teaching from your side of life via the astral body process?
Yes, well, as I say, it's, but not necessarily the astral, well, I suppose what you call the astral body process is really what we determine as being your consciousness. It's your consciousness of your spirit. And this is then tied by the etheric bead, which enables you to be able to go to great distances, almost ad hoc, really. And that, but you're, of course, still tied by the very, very microscopically thin tether of the etheric bead.
Hmm. Is this something that then would be, you could, like, summon, or is it something that you just put out to the ether or to your guides or whatever, doorkeeper, and then it's down to that situation, to whether you get taken or not?
For some people, my dear friend, I understand it is possible for them to be able to reconnoiter and then practice this as a form of out-of-body experience, and then, like our dear friend here, and then actually be able to induce it themselves, or with the help and aid of other spirit travellers, usually from our side of life. Alternately to this, it may well be that it's something which is infrequent and simply happens simply because of the right conditions being met. Maybe the person has relaxed sufficiently so that they just suddenly leave, or have some very strange outer experience, which then means that they perhaps they are looking at themselves or something like that, even just within the room, and that they find themselves floating around the room, or even moving around the room at a pace.
Mm.
And oftentimes this can happen, as you have done so yourself, dear friend, on many occasions.
Mm.
And in many respects, this is a situation whereby there are many different conditions which can illuminate it and cause it. Usually it's to enable others from the spirit world, perhaps the team you may be working with in the physical reality, that they come to help you within this journey, perhaps to bring different kinds of realization to you, perhaps to give you different kinds of experiences, so that you will be more welcoming, more forthcoming, perhaps relaxing more within the spirit environment. It doesn't mean to say you're being beset by devils or any other negative situation or aspersion cast by any religious group or theocracy. These are simply situations and matters of deference, whereby many people have this fixation of that everything whereby you are not imprinting the impregnated words from one particular book are simply becoming tantamount to you losing the plot of your life.
Yes. I like going through solid walls feet first.
Yes, yes, absolutely so. Yes.
It's fun. Yes. Absolutely fun. Pity you can't, well, I can't do it at will, but, yeah.
Yes.
Very good.
I understand.
My sister, actually, talking about my mother, my sister had an experience the other night where she met my mother, say, who passed a few months ago, somewhere, and, had a little conversation. So was that her having an out-of-body experience, or did it, or was it?
Yes, I understand it was actually your mother that was there present. I understand that the situation actually happened within certain buildings elsewhere within the spirit world, really to do with what she was dealing with at the time, what your mother was dealing with at the time, most probably to do with part of the group that she's associated with at present. Which really is under the guise of, as I said, Mr. Desmond, who is actually really to do with illuminating certain pathways of their journey so that they become more au fait and collected language of the situations, the connotations of the physical world, and what it has brought itself to in respect of life upon the planet, etc.
Mm.
Because he was a good doctor at the time within the physical world itself, prior to his passing, some many years ago, I have to say.
Okay, well, before we go to the next question, I'll see if anybody else would like to ask you a question. The phone lines are open. The number is free phone, 877-876-5227. That's in the USA. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, 001-520-876-3222. Okay, another question from Paul.
Yes.
And you did actually, okay, you mentioned interdimensional portals.
Yes.
And he says, why are the energy cords needed when creating an interdimensional portal?
Well, the energy cords, it depends entirely upon for what matter it is being created. If it's just a transitory portal, then it will be a minuscule amount, and the energy will simply be brought about by the sitter or by the transference of energy in the form of love from the sitter themselves, and this can be just one person.
What do you mean by sitter? Not everybody will know what you mean by
well,
that.
By a sitter, I mean to say that, very well, the person who is wishing to have an out-of-body experience, or the person who is wishing to have some kind of transcommunication or other form of communication with the spiritual world dimension. Or some other dimension. I'm not purely saying that this is true with the spirit world, but it is also true with other different dimensions or states of reality. But my point is here, you really got to know what you're doing.
So why are the energy cords needed?
The energy cords are needed really as a transference, simply because you have to have something from the physical side of life interacting with the spirit world or with the ether world dimension in some respect or other, or another dimension, depending on where you are trying to travel to, that actually, in a sense, coats it, that co-creates it. In a sense, then, it means that you can't just have something conjured up on the physical side of life and expect it to work. It simply won't, because it's purely of the physical stuff. Even regardless of whether the energy of love is what you use in order to manifest it. It matters not. It will be that you'll have these different energies that, and particularly at this present time, I have to say, because the planet Earth is in such disarray because of the intensive negativity moving around it in clouds, we find that oftentimes it's actually almost, it's extremely difficult to be able to be consistent enough with one's own energy platform to be able to illuminate the positive isotope of energy that is needed, and electromagnetic and static electricity that is needed in order to make it possible for the portal cord to be utilized. It's simply stating that you as a being, as a physical being, a spirit, yes, having a human physical existence, utilizing that kind of situation, you have to have certain elements coming from the spirit world to interact with. So it's something that you have to have set up already in order to illuminate it or bring it about. I'm not saying that's always going to be the case. There will always be differences to the rule. And it's not a rule that's hard and fast made by man, but is a situation that is just endemic within the fabric of the universe. It's, in a sense, a part of the way things work, just like physics. I'm not suggesting here that this is physics with an ultimate goal that is only retrospective or that only has a finite cause, in that it will then change and illuminate into something else as soon as you set the parameters right. It will, however, change. And it will become manifestly different if the right amount of love, the right condition of love, the right harmonic is involved within it. Then it may mean that the illuminated pathway with yourself and the spirit world enables that to come about in a completely different way.
Okay. Another question from Paul. What actual finite control do we as physical entities have over our development vibrationally?
Yes, Finn. Finite control. Finite control will, in a sense, be as long as a piece of string. You cannot necessarily make a piece of string as long as it needs to be in order to get from one dimension to another. Simply because it may need to be miles long, or it may need to just be simply millimeters long, or even a tenth of a millimeter, or even a shard. Because the state of reality between yourself and a different temperate zone of the universe, or a different system of analogy of vibration, which is so completely different to your own that it's, as it were, alien, simply means that it's of a different beat parameter. So that, in exactly the same way, dear friend, that some animals will not hear specific vibrations emanating or coming from other animals, vis-a-vis, that's part of the reason why bats are able to, using the acrimonious sound, travel from their emitting cortex, that actually what comes back is something then that, in a sense, it's not that it then necessarily disabled the insect, although it does, to a certain extent, make the insect feel very wobbly that it's interacted with the sound, and then, of course, the bat itself comes into that picture because picking up the echo release simply identifies its homing target. In the respect of whether the insect actually hears it, no, it doesn't, because it's of a different frequency to the being insect itself. It feels stunned by the silence, by the silent sound that it doesn't hear but feels. And that's exactly the same with dolphins and fish, or whales even. But what happens is that part of the sphere, if you're looking at a whale, and when it sends out its echo in order to understand the location of a certain shoal, what the initial situation sequence is in physical life is that it sends the shoal into a tighter shoal. Thank you very much. Purely and simply because the resonant frequency of the whale's emittance is of a specific frequency that drives that shoal to do that. They don't hear it.
They have
as
them together.
Such. They feel it and they huddle together because that's what it makes them do. That specific vibration intellect is understood by the whale given that of its evolutionary makeup. If you then look at and take the same parameter to the whale and the little fishes as you will to perhaps moving yourself from the once physical dimension into a different dimension, or what parameters you're going to set by it, it gives you a good case in point to understand how different parameters will require different frequencies of understanding and activity to activate those energies and release them to enable you to traverse that place to that place from your present dimension.
Okay, so it's similar to the other question, really, isn't it, in a way? That
yes.
I mean, you know, overall, do we have control over our development vibrationally? Well, yes.
Yes, you do.
It's not just a case of being a good person.
Yes.
Because there are good people who don't do anything about anything, aren't there?
That's quite right.
And
that prefer to sit on the couch of life.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So you have to work at it?
Yes, absolutely so. And you have to do something about the control of your vibration. So that means to say then, you may have this as a loving gift within you, but it's a matter for you as to whether you actually rise up and take it, take that challenge, and understand that there are specific things you can do with your own vibration which will set you apart from everyone else, because you are, each and every one of you, unique from everyone else.
Mm.
That doesn't mean to say that you're uniquely the same. people, beings in physical life, strive to be different. But they don't simply realize just how different each one is. And perhaps history, if you look at that, you may define as to being that beings, even though they are similar, it's simply history repeating itself. It isn't, in fact, because exactly the same set of circumstances will never ever be repeated again, not through the entirety of life. Therefore, your vibration, what it means to you, how you react and interreact within your physical life, to problem solving, to evolutionary status markers, different situations of interaction between different dimensions, how these different facets are coupled then with your life, changes and alters your vibration to beyond anything that it was prior to it.
Mm. Yes, you find people, since we've been doing the Akashic readings, it's been, I'm always fascinated by them, and it's difficult for people, it seems, you know, when they first start to open up their awareness to something else, bigger than that they, you know, anything else, that they know there's something bigger than themselves going on, they don't know what it is, they have experience, and certain experiences that actually lead them to a certain point where they are searching.
Yes.
And they don't know where to go next. They know they should be following a pathway. They don't know how to go about it. Is there a certain sort of vibrational frequency that happens to somebody, shall we say, their spiritual intent or whatever, when that happens, for them to start actually physically start searching
Yes, it's a very difficult question, my dear friend, I have to say, because you do get, actually, some people in the physical side of life who actually see it, feel it, but don't react to it.
Mm.
And in many respects, then, will actually say retrospectively, oh yes, I knew, I felt this was a really deep intuitive mark, but I didn't actually act upon it the way that I should have. And I knew that I was doing this and that there was something magical about it. And yes, I didn't do it. And then especially when you are faced with beings who are such complex characters, it may well be that their complexity of character actually is illuminated purely and simply because of the soul group that their spirit has first, their frequency of spirit has come from, originated from, when that pure, beautiful spirit moved away from that which is God and then became a single entity as such, still a part of the whole, and still as uniquely beautiful as that part of God with which it illuminated and simply separated from to begin with. It will become that sometimes the complexity and the different, very deeply not contrived, in a sense, energies to do with that being, but actually just the simple complexities within the whole structure of how that person may become to be made up. It's extremely difficult oftentimes to really locate, particularly when you will find that many people from the same soul group suffer from the same situation, the same kinds of syndromes. So it may be that it's actually like the three-headed snake, that the person actually ends up within all these different facets all in one go. And that actually what they're creating is not in deference to themselves. They are not meaning to have avoided one beautiful pathway of illusion, but or illumination that had happened to them. But actually what had happened was that it seemed to pass them by almost like some slow-moving film that was going in a different direction. And they just simply, yes, I can acknowledge it, but I'm still doing this over here.
Yes, because in life we have signposts, we have specific things that tell us to do one thing or the other, really, a lot of the time.
Yes.
And it's experiences that lead us to this.
Quite
sorry,
true.
You wanted to just say something?
No.
So very often it's difficult to know what to do, where to go.
Yes.
But there's so many things, especially with the internet, and a lot of it is very useful. But there are so many things people say, and follow me, I am the way. It's a bit, you know, that where do people, how do people tell, you know?
Yes, well, in actual fact, my dear friend, what oftentimes will happen is that at some other injunction on life, that they will find a pathway that will lead them actually straight back to it. Not being that it's still even in the registry of memory. Oh yes, I remember that, and I must try and get back to that bit. It is simply not there, not present. So sometimes it may well be within the journey that simply by making the right kind of connection in seeking, asking the question, seeking, asking the question, means that you are then open to change. Simply creating a different vibration within the frequency, specific frequency of your body structure and how you illuminate and elaborate your life enables that question to move out into the universe. Therefore, you become more realigned to this other separate sequence of events, which may then actually illuminate your pathway, not back into your life, but to the point at which you realize that there were actually sequences moving on within your life that were sacred, that were actually your chosen path, that were actually, despite your complexity of character, your complexity of environment, how that had reenacted with you, that you were still true to your nature in searching for the clear horizon, which you could then see as a different event. Ah, yes, I have an understanding with clarity. Mm. Not of what it is,
no,
but of clarity, of an understanding that I am something. Mm.
Yeah, as an inner knowing of something. But yes, what is it I know?
Yes.
But you said before that there is an actual vibration that we as human beings get to. Like, say, there's a vibration of happiness. And there's a vibration of awareness.
Yes, quite so. There are many different vibrations. That's the point. I suppose, in a sense, the most integrated ones are the vibrations of questioning.
Right.
Which can happen at any time, at any given frequency. The vibrations of questioning are usually come about when certain pathways throw up specific eddies, of which you then have trouble in illuminating. These then cause specific kinds of questions, which then, in a sense, illuminate your pathway into a different mode of acceptance, I suppose.
Acceptance or searching, or even more searching.
Yes, absolutely.
Direction.
So that means that you are unhappy with the status quo you have created.
Mm, yes, well, but all of these vibrations are down to what else is going on in your life at the time, even where you live.
Absolutely.
The negative area or positive area that you live in, the actual situations that are going on in your life, whether you're going through a happy-go-lucky phase or a very traumatic phase.
Yes.
You know, as we all do, because, you know, because of the nature of living on this earth, isn't it?
Yes,
so it's all down to so many things, isn't it?
So many
whether you trust what comes back then. Because very often these situations, these light bulb moments, shall we say, happen without us physically having anything to do with it.
Inopportune moments, yes.
Yes. So then they are easier to take notice of, aren't they?
That is quite true.
But if it's something then that you try to physically do to try and fit into that box, to go down that road that you feel that meant for you to go down.
Yes,
makes sense.
Yes, yes.
That's when it can become different, because your physical brain and mind come into play and you're not working on that flow of consciousness, higher consciousness anymore.
That's quite true. And then, of course, it's as though you're cast adrift on a raft.
Sometimes,
of
absolutely.
Some other knowledge, yes, quite so. Mm.
Yeah. But I would say, you know, to anybody listening, that there's nothing wasted. You might go to many courses and take many,
yes,
you know, go to many workshops, do many courses, get certificates and all the rest of it. And it doesn't mean to say that, you know, even 5 years down the line, you actually do find your true pathway and vocation,
yes,
on your spiritual way. And then you can change and nothing is wasted. It's not wasted at all. It's all learning, isn't it?
Absolutely so. Yes. all of it is learning. Mm. It's just, in a sense, understanding that oftentimes what will happen is that it's really a matter of alignment as well that you take when you are doing the study or when you are engaging within the matter. Is it something that is really illuminating with you, or are you simply going through the motions of it? Oftentimes, many people go through the motions of it anyway, regardless, purely and simply because they want to be recognized, and these pieces of paper then give that form of recognition for themselves, at least, or for their inner understanding, not necessarily, but usually for the financial or manipulative state of it. It's not to say that it means it's a lesser gain, necessarily. Knowledge is always a good thing. There is no bad knowledge.
No, absolutely not. No, it all looks good on your CV. And it's doing something positive. While you're doing these things, you're doing something positive for yourself. You know?
Yes, absolutely
so. It's good energy. You're saving lots of energy by being positive.
Yes, and changing the structure. Changing your inherent structure by doing this. I won't go as far as to say it's changing your DNA.
No.
But it is actually changing the structure of how you think. It's changing the structure of your well-being. Therefore, changing your outlook and your chemical balance. That chemical balance is inherent within your facility of whether you become positive or negative, whether
absolutely.
You become very distinctive about your progress, or whether you become very slovenly and retrospective.
Mm.
And you wouldn't want that.
No, and you'll develop strength to see you through adversity, plus attracting positivity into your life.
Absolutely.
Well, Gregory, that's it. That went rather quickly, didn't it?
Yes, so it did.
Very enjoyable. Thank you very much.
Yes. With love and light, blessings be everyone. God bless upon your journeys, you lovely, lovely beings.
And we hope you've enjoyed the show. Our website is www.spirit-teaching.com if you want to find out more about us. And, I'd just like to say thank you very much for listening. My name is Sylvie Avery. This has been Spirit's Work. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.